Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Come on, give God some praise. Yeah, come on, give it up for the worship team. Isn't the worship team awesome? Man, you guys that excited to be out here at midweek? You guys could take a seat. I always feel when you're standing, like I feel rushed on my introduction. So I'll get you on your feet in just a second. Omar will continue to play the keys. Isn't Omar just awesome on the keys? How about just the band? The band's amazing. The band's amazing. In case you're wondering who I am, my name is Lou, and I just get the privilege just to be up here with you guys at midweek. Come on, midweek, where it's always happening. Where, like Pastor likes to say, it's better than the happy hour down the street. And I agree with them. It is. But I'm glad that you guys are here with me, and I'm so excited to be here tonight just to speak with you. We're talking about Made to Worship. I mentioned Pastor. You might be wondering, where's Pastor at? Last week he was on vacation, got recharged, but now he touched down. As soon as he touched down, he took off, went into ministry. So he's over actually in Alabama with Pastor Chris Hodges and the Grow Network team. And I'm always excited when Pastor Josiah goes on these trips, ministry trips, because he comes back full of just passion, more passion, just full of more just things that he's learned, and he's just waiting just to pour it out on the church. And you can just tell he just grows from every trip. So, you know, when he comes back with that growth, he gives it to us, and then we grow as well. So I'll put it to you this way. When Pastor grows, we grow. So that's why I get excited when he goes on these trips. So that's where he's at. Come on, give it up for Pastor. He's doing that over there. And I just can't wait till he comes back. He's coming back this week. You'll see him on Sunday. And it's going to be amazing. Let me just say, again, it's a privilege and an honor to be out here with you guys. Thank you so much. I honor you guys, and I just want to let you know I do take this very, very seriously when speaking the Word of God. I feel like I'm on assignment. Pastor Sy said, hey, you know what, speak to them, Made to Worship, continue it, and just build them up. And that's what I want to do today. I want to build you up, encourage you, and when you leave here tonight, I want you telling Pastor Sy, he was awesome. You don't have to do that. I'm just kidding. But normally at this time, also, my wife's normally here. She's not here today. Oh, yeah, I know. My wife's not here. I was like, who's going to shout me down? Come on now. At this time, I always honor my wife. And you know, I tell her she's awesome. She's amazing. She's beautiful. I do pretty much everything I can do to score as many points I can from up here. Okay, so she's not here, so I need your help in scoring points. When you see her, her name's Tina, you've probably seen her around, she does the conference table. Let her know that I said that she's amazing, she's beautiful, she is my, without her, I can't do this. So she's a woman that I love and I'm so honored to be married to. My daughter is here, so I love my daughter. Shout out to her. Come on now. I just want to honor Pastor Josiah, Pastor Marie too, if they're here. And I always say I want to honor them for giving me the privilege, but I really want to honor them for believing in me when I didn't believe in myself, for seeing more in me when I didn't see that in the mirror, you know. And I know that's not just for me. I know it's for you. I know they do the same with you guys, and they see more in you than you probably see in yourselves. And they believe in you more than you probably believe in yourself. So let's just give it up for our pastors, because we have some amazing pastors. And man, I feel good tonight. Tonight, I just feel the atmosphere is just electric right now. It's just, man, the Holy Spirit's just moving in just a powerful, powerful time already. If you're here tonight, you're here for an awesome, awesome service. Not because I'm speaking, but just because I know God is going to move. In case, I know I mentioned my name, but I didn't tell a lot of you who I am. I'm married. My wife, to my wife Tina, we have three kids. We've been coming to Freedom House for 9 years, since I've been Pastor Josiah's house. So I'm one of the elders here. I oversee the ministry operations. So that's kind of my background. We've been here for 9 years, and I want to let you know, we have never taken a break. We have never stopped serving. We have never said, you know what, I'm going to leave and come back. We have never done those things. We have always honored and maintained honored, and we've always been planted at Freedom House Church. And I just feel grace to tell you this. I don't say this to boast. I don't say this to brag, but I say this to encourage you, because if you started coming from when it was in the house or from when you are tonight, maybe your first time, when you commit yourself to God, when you give your heart to worship Him, when you plant yourself in His house, you will be blessed. You will see the impossible. You will see miracles. You will see healing. You will see transformation. You will see God move in your life and in the life of your family. That is what you'll see when you plant yourself. So that is why I tell you those things. That is why I tell you those things. My God, you guys are awesome. I love the response that I'm getting from you guys. I love Freedom House Church. It's my church, as you can tell, and I'm just a pastor likes to call me a son of the house, and I view myself as that, a son of the house, born and raised in here as far as my Christian faith goes. So I'm so glad you guys are here with me. This is the best place you can be ever. I may be biased, but that's okay. That's okay. We all have our own personal biases, right? All right, tonight. Now I need to move on. Tonight, we're talking about made to worship. So I'm going to continue on that vein. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand up as we always do and for the reading of God's word. And then I'm going to talk about some things. I'm going to read the theme scripture. So I have actually a long scripture, but I decided to cut you guys a break and read that afterwards. So we're going to read the theme scripture, which is only a couple verses. And then I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to jump into what I want to talk about. Is that good with you guys? Yeah. All right, come on, let's do this. So I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's living sacrifice, your bodies. It's talking about your life. Offering your life as a living sacrifice. Offering your life as worship. Excuse me, your life is worship. Holy and pleasing to God, the Bible says right there. Holy and pleasing to God. The Bible tells us that we are to be holy because He is holy. Not so that we can show people that, man, we're holier than thou, but that so that we can show people our God is holy, our God is awesome, and that we are set apart for Him. It goes on to say, this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why don't you go ahead and tell your neighbor that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As your mind transforms, so will your worship. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this night to come together and just talk about made to worship. This is a time to worship you, Father God, to learn more about it, and how we can worship you, Father, and continue to grow in our worship. May you speak through me, Lord. May your anointing be upon me, Father. May the words that come out of me, Lord, may they be your words, Father. Guide my tongue, Father, and give me wisdom. Lord, may the hearts that are out there, Father, on the receiving end, Father, be open, be softened, be turned. May perspectives be changed. May hearts grow more to worship you, Father, and in the understanding of what it is and what it means to worship you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that the worship increase for Freedom House Church, Lord, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays, Father, but as we walk it out throughout the week, Lord, that our life will be worship unto you, and the areas that are not showing that will be given unto you, Jesus. We will be your living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto you. We worship you. We thank you. May tonight heaven be open over us, and miracles, Father God, break loose, Father, and heaven, Father, pour out your anointing, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Why don't you go ahead and give somebody a high five, a handshake, a hug, and tell them you are awesome. I'm telling you all, you guys are all awesome, in case somebody, your neighbor, decides to disobey and not tell you anything. So you're awesome, and I need you guys to tell me that too. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, thank you so much. We love each other here at Freedom House Church. So made to worship is what we're talking about. And as I get into it, I do want to kind of review, in case you weren't here for the last Last Wednesday, we actually had a mega prayer night, so we didn't have a full-on service where there was the teaching of the word, but we had a powerful night of worship. Who was there on the mega prayer night over at the building? I mean, my God, when the church comes together and prays, it's just amazing. The week prior to that, and 2 weeks prior, so 3 weeks ago, we started Made to Worship, and Pastor just touched on some things, so I just want to catch you up real quick and then bring you to the point where I'm going to be speaking to. In the first week of teaching, Made to Worship, he started by telling us what worship is not, because sometimes it's really easy to say what worship is, but then it gets convoluted with a lot of the things that it's not. So Pastor brought it together and said, hey, this is what worship is not. He said, it's not singing, it's not a performance, it's not music, it's definitely not the first 20 minutes of the service, or sometimes 25, depending on how things are flowing, like tonight, come on, powerful. But those are the things he said. He also went on to say that God designed us with an intent to worship. So we were made to worship, whether it be God or something else. You can't live a life without worship. And he went a little bit deeper into that and talked about, you know, how we're designed. Whatever we come under, you know, is our lid and all these amazing things. But what I wanted to bring out is that we were made to worship, and I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. That's what Pastor taught. So if you want to hear more about that, if you missed those messages, you can go to our Freedom House podcast on iTunes, download, and you can hear those messages. They're right there. So we're designed to worship, which means it's not whether we choose to worship, it's who we decide to worship. So we have to come to a point and a decision in our life. So what are we going to worship? Are we going to worship God or worship these other things? Worship is a choice. Say that with me. Worship is a choice, and we need to understand that it's a choice. It's not something that you can ignore. But even if you think you can ignore it, you're making the choice. Okay, I'm gonna ignore worshiping God and go on and focus on something else. Worship is a choice. You were made to worship. God made you with the intent to worship. So worship is life. You know the hashtags. Coffee is life. You know, Starbucks is life. Worship is life. Hashtag. Come on. Worship is life. Maybe that's a new hashtag we should start. Freedom House, you know, just go ahead. Somebody just post right now. Worship is life. worship is life. I'm getting sidetracked. Sorry. Bunny trails. It's your life. You know, there's certain things we have to do to maintain healthy worship life unto God. So as we understand that worship is life, we understand worship is a choice. There's certain things that we have to do in our life to maintain that and maintain the health of that. Just like when your physical body, there's certain things that you have to do to maintain the health of your body, whether it's workout, whether it's eat, what have you, work life, your career. There's certain things that you have to do to maintain a healthy career, a healthy work life, meeting your goals, meeting your deadlines, doing what your boss asks, those type of things. In school, if you want to get a good grade point average, there's certain things you have to do to maintain a healthy academic schedule and healthy academic life. You got to study. You got to make sure you're doing your essays. You got to do so many things. Well, so it is with worship. There's so many things that we can talk about, but the point I want to get across to you, that worship is life, and in order to maintain a healthy worship life, then we have to do certain things to make sure that it is healthy. So tonight, I feel like I have something that's going to help you with that, that's going to change your perspective in an area. I can't speak to all things, so I decided to make this laser focused and speak to one thing. It's found in the title of this message, Your Worship Posture. Say it with me. Your worship posture. Now, when I speak of posture, I don't want you to think of posturing. You know, many, I don't know if you, I like those Law and Order shows. I like lawyer shows, like Suits. I like that. I'm watching that with my wife right now. And you got all these other lawyer shows. And you start to realize as you look, lawyers and, you know, police officers, to maintain an order and authority, a lot of times they posture. They show strength and they posture to show, you know, okay, I'm in control, that I'm not in weakness. But that's not the posture that I'm trying to talk about. So I wanted to get that out of the way and just let you know that's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about just, you know, shoulders back, chin up. You know, that's not the posture that I'm talking about, although it's a good posture for paying attention. So if you're slouching right now, shoulders back, chin up, come on. But that's not the posture I'm talking about. I'm talking about your worship posture. I'm talking about how you position yourself to worship God in your life. Not just up here in the front raising your hands or down in the seats raising your hands. Not just that, but your life in general, so that you can worship God fully, wholeheartedly, and everything that you do in the manner of the way you talk and in your actions outside of just the church time, but also at home when things are just getting a little frustrating, whether it be with the bills or with the children or at work because you got employees who aren't listening and who aren't completing things. You know, how you maintain the position of worship in those areas. That is what I'm talking about, and that is what I want to speak to you about. So right now, I'm about to read another text about a man of God named Elijah. Elijah is a powerful man of God. One of my favorite Bible characters. I mean, he did so many things. He did miracles. It's just miracles upon miracles. If you want to do a study on Elijah, then I recommend you go and do that. It definitely will build your faith. Now, this passage of scripture that I'm going to talk about is going to talk about one of his low moments in his life. So not one of his social media selfie highlights, because you know everything we put up there is a highlight. Nothing's ever a low light. But this is one of those things that I'm so blessed to know that God put it in there, because if this man of God hit a low point in his life, then I know there's hope for me. Amen. So I know I'm not the only one on that boat, but right before this scripture, Elijah, he challenges a bunch of priests. Priests of other gods, priests of Baal, the Bible says, they go toe-to-toe, my God, our God, against your God, Baal. What happens is, of course, nothing can match God. Nothing can even challenge him, and the priest lost. At the end of that, he did what every good man of God does. He killed all of them. I'll let Pastor explain that some other day to you why they did that back then. But that's not the point. I'm just setting you up for the next part of scripture. So he killed all of them, and we move on to this portion of scripture and this part of his story and in his life and how his worship posture changed. It changed from a position of strength to a position of weakness, okay? So follow along with me. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. You guys having a good time? Come on, I'm having a good time too. All right. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel, she's the one who had the priests, you know, they were her priests, and he killed all their priests, sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Them being the dead ones, the dead priests. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. I find it interesting that he just becomes afraid when this lady tells him, I'm going to kill you. After he just demolished all these priests, after he just defeated all these priests, he finds himself in this point where Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you now. And he finds himself afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, which is kind of like, you know, it's which brings me, like, when I see this, he was afraid, and I read 2 Timothy 1:7, it makes me think, like, man, what's going on with Elijah at this point? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. So if you ever feel like you're afraid, let me tell you right now, that is not of God. That will never be from God. That is from the enemy trying to intimidate you and keep you from what God has called you to and purposed you to. Just like he did right here in Elijah, for Elijah. So that's what happened. God's word never tells us, and I love this about God's words, because he's never telling us about how to be afraid. He just says, do not be afraid. Because fear is not from him. Fear does not come from him. Living scared, let me tell you, Freedom House, living scared will keep you without having a life of worship. Fear, if you decide to come under fear, now you're under fear, now you're worshiping fear. Maybe not to the extent like, yeah, I love to be afraid, but you're under it, which is the definition of it, of worship. So that is going to limit you. That is going to keep you from the things of God, because God is not a God that brings forth fear. He doesn't operate that like that. He tells us, yes, to fear him, but to fear being away from him. That's what it says. But when in the context of what I'm speaking to you, he says, do not be afraid. because that is not from me. So we are not to live afraid. We're not to live fearful. We're not to live like, oh man, the boogeyman's in the closet. You tell that to your children, you need to stop. We're not to live like that, monsters under the bed, okay? You're not to live afraid. You are a child of the Most High King. Life living, being led by worship drives out fear. So remember that. A life being led by worship unto God drives out fear. Moving on into the scriptures again, verse 5. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough. Lord, he said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. This is what fear had brought him to. Instead of believing God for his situation, he's believing God to kill him. Instead of believing God for a miracle, God, you need to get her, just like you got the priest. He's believing God, no, get me. I don't want to deal with this situation. That is what fear does to you. It cripples you from believing God for the big things, worshiping God, and knowing that he's greater than any situation in your life. That is what fear does, and that is what it did to Elijah. And not only that, he said, I had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. Powerful man of God. With great power comes great responsibility and great stewardship of what God gives you. God has given each one of you something that to steward. You may not know what it is yet, but God's going to show you. But with that, there comes the responsibility. And with that, you're going to fight certain things. For Elijah, this was his battle. For you, you're going to have certain battles. But please, let me tell you again and reiterate, do not fear. Do not be afraid, because that is not of God. That fear is only going to take you from your worship unto him. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors, he said as well. I find this very interesting. His ancestors, he's talking about his family, his friends, you know, his relationships. And I know how it is sometimes, because sometimes, you know, it's the families and friends and the people and that make you feel that way. Like, I can't amount to nothing. I can't do more. That is what fear does. It intimidates you to the point where it gets you to look at you smaller than what God looks at you, which is bigger. God looks at you in a bigger way, with greater purpose. Don't allow fear to step in. Do not run away like Elijah did. Running away from God is positioning yourself outside of worship unto him. So don't run away. You may have tried that in the past. It brought you back to this point, which is great. You're here now. And what you got to look ahead to is way better and far grander and far more blessed than what your past is, because God is concerned more about your future than your past. Everything else, you can chalk that up to God writing your story of your life, writing your testimony, so that when people see you now and people see what God does through you, they're going to know, man, God did a work in that person's life, and he's going to get the glory. And it's going to drive them to come into relationship with them, with him. And they're going to see that. And some of those people are your dad, your mom, your brother, your sister, people that are closest to you that think, man, you haven't changed. Man, you can't change. Man, it's just a phase. It's not a phase. You have changed. God's working in your life and has turned it all around. So I come against those voices, and believe me when I tell you, so does God's word. You are meant for more. You are meant for purpose. You are meant to worship unto God. Moving on. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. He got tired of it all, so he fell asleep. I've been in that position where I just got tired of all, and I'm just going to go to bed. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. As I read to you about Elijah, a powerful man of God, a man of worship, I want you to think, if this could happen to him, if he could lose his worship posture, then can it happen to me? The answer to that is yes, it can, but it doesn't have to. I would like to say, no, it can't happen to you, but the truth is, he was human, and so are we. He is man, he is flesh, and so are we. But it doesn't have to happen to you. It doesn't have to happen to you. You can choose to keep a healthy worship life unto God so it doesn't happen to you. Brings me to my first point. We all have a worship posture. We all have a worship posture. As we realize our life is worship, then we can pay attention to how we can posture our lives for it. How we can posture our lives to worship unto God. So what's your posture? What are you doing to maintain right posture of worship unto God? What are you doing? I want to let you know that Freedom House Church, and we say it in our language all the time. We don't say it like this, but we're always promoting these things. Our church is a church of worship. We do everything we can to position people into worship. That is who we are. We are a church that raises up a people after the heart of God who will do all his will. That is worship, and that is what it is. That is our purpose for Freedom House Church, is to see you raised up as a man or a woman after God who will do all your will. So we do things, intentional things, to get you into position of worship, into that posture of worship. We do things like connect groups. Connect groups where you can be sharpened. Connect groups where people can pray for you. Connect groups where you can build friendships, because life is better with friends. In church, life is always better with friends. We do things like Starting Point, because everybody got to start somewhere. We do things like Starting Point so that we can tell people about how we started, but most importantly, where and how excitedly we're headed. We do things like Growth Track so you can discover your purpose in God and you can be empowered and activated and so that you can fulfill that call that he has on you through our volunteerism and a whole bunch of other avenues. We do things like baptism so that you can bury the past and come up brand new, because that's what the Bible says, so that you can come up brand new. We do things like that for you. We do things like Freedom House Bible College, where we're teaching minds and training hearts. We do that so that people are positioned to be a life of worship unto God. It looks like volunteering as well. We have over 400 volunteers, but we could always use more volunteers. Volunteerism is one of our strongest things here at Freedom House Church. We do that on purpose. We're intentional about it because God wants you to serve. Jesus says, I came to serve, not to be served. So we are replicating what he's doing, and that is what we do. We do things like put on Freedom House Conference. Come on, somebody. Who's going to Freedom House Conference? Where Pastor Josiah gathers men of God, just like Elijah, powerful men of God, powerful women of God, to come and speak to our church and speak and prophesy and lift the faith and lift the passion and lift everything about our church in the direction where God wants it to go. We do those type of things. So I ask you again, what's your worship posture? Your worship posture should always be adjusting. I mentioned all those things, and there's so many things that I could have mentioned more. If you're not doing any one of those things, then you need to do at least a couple things. Do something. Start off with one. Sorry, I don't want to put too much pressure on you. You can start off with one. If you're doing one, you can do two. Doing two, you can do three. Do all those things. But what I want you to get is this. Your worship posture should always be adjusting. The moment you are stagnant is the moment you step outside of worship to God. God is a God of movement. God is a God of shaping. God is a God of molding. God is a God of new things. Behold, I am doing a new thing. And God wants to do a new thing in Freedom House Church. And God wants to do a new thing in you. But if you're not moving, if you're not adjusting, then God cannot allow you to step into that new thing or do that new thing. But because it requires movement. It requires adjusting. I can no longer worship like I worshiped 2 years ago, a year ago, beginning of January, 2 months ago, a month ago, last week. I gotta be adjusting. I gotta be seeking. God, show me what else I need to do. A man of God, a woman of God like yourself, We have to be adjusting always, because if we don't, we become stagnant. Stagnant produces nothing. Stagnant produces a lack of growth. Stagnant is something you want to stay away from. We have to adjust our worship. We have to keep moving. We can never stay stagnant. We cannot just crawl up in a ball and, like Elijah, pray to God, kill me, God. No, we cannot do that, because that keeps us away from the worship posture that God wants us to have in our life unto Him. We all have a worship posture. Point number two, how you posture yourself matters. So how you posture yourself matters. How you step into certain things. Your posture should always be moving, like I said. How whatever situation in life, we all have just life, okay? I don't like to call them issues, but I like to call them seasons. And there's certain seasons in our life that some are up and some are down. And in every season of life, we've got to be moving. We've got to be adjusting. Let me read to you Luke chapter 19, verses 2 through 5. I'm reading you these two scriptures. After this, I'm going to read you another powerful one that Pastor talked about, but I'm going to show you how adjusting works. The Bible says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He had money. He had goals in his life. He met them, and he was prominent, and he was goal-driven, and he had it going on. Everything was good. He heard about Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. It's funny, huh? I know. When I saw that, I was like, I used to wonder, like, man, why does it mention that? Why does it mention his stature? And of course, it's going to tell us right now. But I also think there's something else to it. And this is my interpretation. You don't have to take it for Bible. But I like to think that sometimes he was around people, and sometimes, though we have people in our life, not everybody's on the same page as we are. So the people that aren't, who aren't following God, sometimes like to dwarf our vision of who Jesus is in our life. And that's like I said, my interpretation. Take it as you will. But he was short. He couldn't see over the crowd. He's trying to look at Jesus. Verse 4 says, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So there was movement. There was adjustment. He didn't just stay with the people. He didn't just stay in his seat. He said, man, you know, Brian's too tall. I got to get around and get to this altar. You know, he was moving around. He's like, man, I got to get to the point where I can see Jesus and position my worship posture so that I can receive from him. So that I can seek his heart and see what happens in that time. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So because he moved and adjusted his worship posture, Jesus took notice. Jesus noticed him and said, I'm coming to your house today. And I didn't put the scripture in here, but later on in the scripture it says salvation came to his house. Salvation came to his house. And I know a lot of you are believing for salvation to come to your house. And let me tell you, as you continue to grow in your worship, as you continue to adjust your posture in worship, you will see salvation come to your house just like it did for Zacchaeus. So continue to push forward, continue to go forth, and allow God to move in your life. Next scripture, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. One of my favorite scriptures. Pastor spoke on this, but I just want to give my take. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So this woman was bleeding for 12 years. We can say that her situation was messed up and literally at rock bottom. When she heard about Jesus, just like Zacchaeus heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. And you got to understand, it was a crowd of people. Like when these altars are super filled, like it's nice and tight, you know, everybody's hot and sweaty, but we're all together and you're trying to move and but people are in the way. The same type of crowd. This is Jesus. So people have heard of Jesus by now. So there's people just flocking to Jesus, just wanting to come. She had to go through that crowd. She had to readjust, reposition. She had to move her position of worship, her worship posture constantly to get to Jesus. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. What did these two have in common? What did they have in common? The only thing they had in common, the only thing is that they were adjusting their worship posture unto Jesus. Because they had nothing else in common. One was a man, the other was a woman. One had a social status and the other did not. One was wealthy and the other one was poor. One had reached the pinnacles of success and the other was at rock bottom. What's the point? The point is, no matter where you are in life, your worship posture matters. No matter if everything's good, like it was for Zacchaeus at that time, you still have to adjust your worship posture. No matter if you're at rock bottom, you still have to adjust your worship posture. No matter if you're somewhere in between, and I think I've covered everybody in this place, you still have to adjust your worship posture. Your worship posture matters. It matters. Because your life is worship. And when you're not adjusting, when you get to a point where you're like Elijah and you feel like the world's just coming down and you choose to come under timidity and fear and just curl up and just, man, God, just kill me. And you come to that point, then things stop for you. You have to adjust your worship. And it might seem like, man, I'm beating up on Elijah. Let me tell you, there's so many more highlights in his life. This didn't keep him down. So let that encourage you. No matter where you are in your worship posture unto God, or where your life is, maybe you just realize, maybe it's the first time you did the worship Made to Worship series, and you just realized my life is worship. Tonight, just learning about it. With just some little adjustments, some steps, you can come under worship unto God, because your life is made to worship unto Him. And you might think like, man, that doesn't sound super beneficial to me. Let me tell you, you will be blessed. You will be blessed when you put God at the forefront, when you put God first, when you adjust your worship posture, everything will change. Everyone stand at your feet right now. Everything will change. Worship posture matters. It matters. We all have a worship posture, and how you posture yourself matters. You know, there's so many things that I could have talked about. There's so many things that could have been said about worship and how our lives are made to worship, but I just felt led this way just because I know in my time here at Freedom House, I've gone through seasons, and I'm sure I have yet to see many more seasons. But what I've learned in my time here at Freedom House is that I'm constantly adjusted how I've worshiped unto God and my posture. There's so many times, and I'm not gonna say I didn't sometimes like Elijah get discouraged. I know I've gotten discouraged before. I've told myself, what's the point? I've said, okay, like, you know, why am I still doing this? That's just, it happens. It's gonna happen. But it is how you adjust your posture to worship unto Him, which is gonna get you through it. Some of you are here tonight and haven't adjusted your worship posture in quite some time. Well, then this message is for you. This message is for everyone. I'm sorry. Forget that. This message is for me. I'm raising my hand right now. I'm going to answer that altar call. Maybe you find yourself like Elijah right now where you stand. You find yourself at a point, a place of fear, taking the next step, a place of fear which is keeping you from taking the next step into a position of worship unto God. This definitely will encourage you. You know, I'm going to follow that thought up, but let me just interject with this right here. Pastor said Satan, last I believe it was last time, Pastor said Satan will try to tempt us to worship other things other than God. But in other words, Satan will do what he can to keep your life from being in position to worship God. It's, you know, means the same thing, but just I just worded it just to, in the context of this message right here. Don't let the enemy intimidate you from worshiping God. Elijah was a great man of God. He did great things. But I just showed you one of the low points. That's it. I did it so that we can learn. Not that we can say, oh man, I identify with Elijah. If Elijah did that, then I can do that too. I have an excuse now. No, that's not why I showed it to you. I showed it to you to let you know that you too can come out of it. You too can move your position and come out of it and see God work and see miracles take place just as Elijah did. The beautiful thing about this, though, is that God was watching over him the whole time. I read those scriptures, and it said the angel of the Lord came and fed him and was speaking to him, you know, and letting him know you need to eat. The journey in front of you is great. You know, you can't handle it without some energy, pretty much. You know, eat up. Something great is going to happen. God was still watching over him. Even though he was outside of the posture of worship unto God, God was still watching over him to bring him back. And you may find yourself outside of that posture of worship. God is watching over you to bring you back. You coming tonight is God telling you, I'm here to bring you back. I'm here to bring you under me. Under my covering, under my love, under my joy, under my peace, because what you have been under, it doesn't work. What you are under cannot match what I can give you. What you are under is nothing compared to what I have for you, what I have purpose for you, what I have called you to. What you are under has no guarantee of your future, but what I have is a guarantee that I have a plan, and it is to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope for the future that's to come, for the children that's to come, for the legacy that you are about to leave behind. That is it. God is bringing you back to that place. 1 Kings 19:8, the last scripture from the first that I read, says, so he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. Oreb was the mountain of God. It was the place where Moses went up and God spoke to him. It was the place where Moses positioned himself unto worship to God to hear from him. He tells Elijah, go over there. I believe he was giving Elijah a message. Just like I have already stated, he is guiding you back into the position of worship. He was guiding Elijah to Oreb, into a position of worship where he can hear from him, just like Moses did on that mountaintop. Now, in this day, today, we don't have to go to mountains. We don't need to go to mountains to have mountaintop experiences. God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit is for you. God's Spirit is gonna envelop you, and it's gonna breathe on you, and it's gonna come over you, because God is here. We don't need to go to the mountain. We are in a place where God moves, where God speaks, where God releases miracles, where God releases healing. We are in His church. We are His church. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is moving right now. So if you're in this place and this message has spoken to you, the first thing that you got to do to get back into the position of worship is to hit these altars right here, because it starts tonight. So if you're out there, come on up into these altars. Allow God to speak to you. Reposition yourself. The worship team's going to lead us, and we're going to worship, and we're going to believe God. Lord, our life is made for worship.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.